to the Sunday School lesson for Sunday, September the 20th. This will be lesson number 3. I'm your Sunday School teacher, your radio host, Freddie C. Howard, Sunday School teacher at Antioch Missionary Baptist Church, 45 Church Street, in Peterman, Alabama, Tunnel Springs, 36471. Our telephone number is 1-251-564-2171. The church where everybody is somebody and Christ is the head. We want to thank you for being with us this morning. Like all Sunday schools under the COVID plague right now, being broadcast on the internet, Facebook, and we record ours every Sunday, and our regular Sunday school services every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. But we air it on Facebook and at our church website, Antioch Number One Baptist Church Number One. Reverend William Oliver is our pastor. Sister Joyce Oliver is our first lady, and our clerk is Miss Lisa Starwood. We have church services on 2nd, 4th, and 5th Sundays. This is the 3rd Sunday. Pastor Oliver is over at his other church there in Frisco City. So we hope that everything is going well for all of you out there. Sunday school service usually at 9 a.m. and church service usually at 11 a.m. And just like I said before, COVID has impacted what we're broadcasting and how we're broadcasting and how we are having service. And we hope everything is going well. Most people are having in the car services out in the park at the in front of the church or at a vacant place where they can worship God. Our subject for today is victorious love. Our devotional reading is coming from Psalms 51. Our background scripture is coming from Genesis 42. Today, we are recording on our Facebook page live, as well as recording for upload for the public at a later day for at our radio station. Devotional reading coming from Psalms. We have a rather lengthy Sunday school lesson for today. I want to read a couple of things. We hope that you were able to read all of the preparatory lessons for coming up to this Victorious Love Sunday school lesson today. I'm going to read Psalms 51, Songs of Penance, because it very much applies to me today, and I hope it does apply to you as well. To the chief musician, a song of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. You remember David's a man after God's own heart, succumbed to sin when he looked upon Bathsheba. That was somebody else's wife. In fact, one of the generals, one of the army officers in his army, that was his wife, and he sinned as she were taking a bath. But anyway, we're going to read that. And it is very much important. Reason why I'm reading it today is that it applies very much to me in my life as well. I have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy knowledge and kindness, according unto the multitude of the tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before thee. That passage right there, my sins is ever before thee, is the words, powerful words for you and I and all of us that are listening, is that your sins, God knows about them, and he knows about them, and they are ever before God, all that you do, good, bad, or ugly. That's the third passage in this Psalm 51. For I acknowledge my sins, and my sins are ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Verse number 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Here is something that you really need to understand. All humanity, born of a man and a woman, are conceived in sin. The reason why is because of what happened in the Garden of Eden. Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, and they began to engage in sexual relations that resulted in children being born. All right. That means that every human being that is born after Adam and Eve is conceived in sin, because that broke the connection when Eve took up that fruit that what God told him not to eat of the tree of good and evil and knowledge, that broke the connection with Jesus Christ, broke the connection with God, and Jesus Christ had to come down through 42 generations as a sacrifice on a cross for us, that in order that we may be saved. Okay. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in my sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the children and the hidden parts, thou art make me know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop. That is something that's a purifying agent. Hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. We're talking about Jesus being the blood of Jesus, washing us in the blood of Jesus, and we'll be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. In other words, he was broken up. He was distraught. That's when Nathan told him what he had done. That was a powerful message for David, knowing that he had sinned before God. Hide thy face from my sin and blot out my iniquity. Blot out my iniquity. Iniquity is sin, your transgressions against God's word. God's word. And it ain't that you can break one. Once you break one, you have broken them all. Sin is sin. There's no little sin and no big sin. God hates sin. There is enmity between God and sin. God has nothing to do with sin. He will not accept sin. All right. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out mine iniquity. Create in me a clean heart. In other words, his heart was dirty because of the sin. What came out of his heart, what's inside of a person comes out. Iniquity, the sin of adultery with somebody else's wife. All right. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and know the right spirit within me. Renew a right spirit in me. Renew the right spirit, the spirit of righteousness. The spirit that caused you to sin is not the right spirit. That's an evil spirit. That spirit comes from Satan when you do sin. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. In other words, don't cast me away from you, from God. Uphold me with thy willing spirit. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Oh, your Holy Spirit is within you, and he's asking God not to take the Holy Spirit out of you. That is a perfect prayer. That is a good prayer. Don't ask God not to take the Spirit away from you. Restore to me thy joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Oh, in other words, support me. Give me guidance, Lord. Lead me. Then will I teach transgressors thy way, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. In other words, once you are forgiven, God has given you a clean bill of sale, you teach others. That's what he said. Go ye into all the world. Remember, that's the last thing that he told his disciples when he was departing, when he was going back to heaven after his crucifixion. Go ye into all the world and uphold me. And then when I teach transgressors, then will I teach transgressors. Transgressors are those that violate God's law. Transgressors. thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Teaching others about Jesus Christ, hoping this morning that as I teach here, in spite of my own iniquity, that someone else be converted to Jesus Christ as well. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O thy God, all my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. Deliver me from my guiltiness, blood guiltiness, O Lord. In other words, this sin that's within you is in your blood from Satan that was planted by Adam and Eve being conceived and violating God's laws when they was in the Garden of Eden. It's in you. Satan is a part. He knows everything about you. He knows what you like and what you dislike. God knows. And Satan knows how to confuse you and lead you and deceive you. And he does it all the time. That's his job. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. Praise, singing praise to God. Hallelujah. The highest praise word that you could say is hallelujah. Hallelujah. For open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. You're bringing forth the praise to God. For thou desirest not sacrifice. Sacrifice. A lot of folks say, oh, I sacrifice so much. No. Sacrifice is okay. But for thou, God, does not desire sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not in burnt offerings. In other words, all the things that you remember the all the animals and things they were kibbling in the old days before Jesus Christ died on the cross, sacrifice. God don't want none of that. He doesn't want any of that. All right. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou desirest not burnt offering. David is saying to God, you know, I know you don't desire all those things. The sacrifice of God are a broken spirit, a spirit that has been broken. In other words, this sin and evil that you've been doing in your life, stop it, stop it. Broken, it's in, it's broken. A broken and contrite heart, actually forgiveness, real, actual forgiveness, real, actual forgiveness. How about that? Are you being actually being forgiven? Real forgiveness. The sacrifice of God are a broken and contrite spirit, broken and contrite heart. Oh God, that would not despise. And it was an honest, God knows your heart. You cannot fool God. If you are real in what you're doing, God knows it. Other folks may be fooled, but you cannot fool God. A real contrite heart, an actually heart of forgiveness. Do good in thy good pleasures unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. He's talking about what needs to be done for the city around his place in which he lived, his home. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifice of righteousness with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shalt thou bullish upon that altar. In other words, when you are in the midst of sin, as David was, as he had sinned with Bathsheba, God didn't want anything that he has to offer because he is in his sin. And some of us are in sin right now. Ask God forgiveness, as we often ask God for forgiveness. All right, that is devotional reading Psalm 51. That is preparing us for today's lesson. We are just lost our connection, and we hope that we get reconnected on the Facebook page. If not, we will continue as we are going here. All right. And Joseph was the governor over the land, and it was that he was sold to all the people of the land, and Joseph's brethren came and bowed down themselves before him with their face to the earth. All right, we are reconnected to our Facebook page. The internet is going in and out this morning. We thank you for staying with us. All right, we have begun reading the Sunday school lesson. It's Genesis, the 42nd chapter. If you won't mind, turn to Genesis in your Bible, the 42nd chapter, verses 6 through 25. Genesis, the 42nd second chapter, verses 6 through 5. We're going to be talking about victorious love. What it mean by victorious? Mean you the victor. You are the victor. You are the winner. You can be a winner with Jesus Christ. And how do you be a winner with Jesus Christ? By doing what God's word say. Joseph's brothers accept Benjamin come to Egypt for food. Remember when Joseph was in the field and his father made the coat for him of many colors, and how Joseph was always bragging to his brothers about his dreams and stuff like that, and he was telling them about how he had had a dream about the sheaves in which they was working in the field would bow down to his sheaves. And even his father asked the question about bowing down to his son, Joseph. Here it comes full force now. Genesis 42, the sixth chapter, verses 6 through 25. And the sixth verse, it begins with the sixth verse. Joseph tests his 10 brothers. They are coming. The land is in a state of famine. Famine. There is no food. Everybody's hungry and starving. People are dying. Famine, that means that the land is dry. The crops are not being raised. The cattle are dying. It's a time of famine. No food. Food is scarce. That day may very well, and I do believe will be coming someday in America. We hope you are not during that time, but God has much more in store for America. Under the guidance of where we are going now as a nation. All right. And Joseph was the governor over the land. He's talking about the governor of the land in Egypt. And he was, it was that sold to all the people. In other words, he controlled everything. And all the people of the land. And Joseph's brothers came and bowed down themselves before him with their faces to the earth. God's words coming through. God's word coming true. What he told his brothers and fathers, mother and father before, it is actually true at this moment. And Joseph saw his brothers and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them and spake roughly unto him. And spoke roughly unto him. As I move this over in front of the camera so I won't have to keep looking away. But anyway, Joseph's brothers come to him. They don't know that Joseph is the person in whom they come to Egypt to looking for food. Everybody in the land was looking for food, and they had to come to Egypt to get it. And guess who they was going to have to get it from? Joseph, the dreamer. Joseph saw his brothers, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spoke roughly unto them, and said unto them, "Whence they come ye?" And they said, "From the land of Canaan to buy food." They come to buy food. And Joseph knew his brothers, but they knew not him. They had forgot. They had buried him in that well and hoped that he was dead or whatever, and told a lie to their father that an animal had got him. Remember, they put blood on that beautiful robe and stuff. They're all colors. And they fooled their father like an animal had got Joseph. And they said unto him, And Joseph remembered the dreams which he dreamed of them, and said unto them, "You are spies to see the nakedness of the land. You are come." He's scaring them, ain't he? All right. And Joseph remembered the dream, and they said unto him, "Nay, my lord, but to buy food are thy servants come." In other words, they are saying they're his servant. He ain't told them that they were their servant, but they telling them that he. That they are his servants. Look at that. "We are all one man's son. We are true men, the servants of no spies." Oh, you just said they're true men, but they ain't telling about what they did to Joseph. They true now. That's what they say. But they're not telling how they put Joseph in that well. And he said unto them, "Nay, but to see the nakedness of the land, ye come." Joseph told them again, "No, y'all come to spy this land out." And they said, "Thy servants are 12 brethren. The sons are one man in the land of Canaan. And behold, the youngest in this day with our father, and one is not." Okay, the one is not. You know who they're talking about. That's Joseph. Okay, and Joseph said unto them, "Then that is it that I spoke unto you, you saying, Ye are spies. He's still telling them they're spies. I bet you they're sure enough scared now. Hereby ye shall be proved. By the life of Pharaoh, you shall not go forth hence except your youngest brother come hither. Oh, look at what he's saying. Oh, look what he's doing. Send one of you and let him fetch your brother, and ye shall be kept in prison, that your word may be proved, whether there be any truth in you. Else, by the life of Pharaoh, surely you are spies. He ain't say he gonna do them to him, but he said he tell them that they are spies. And he put them all together into a ward 3 days. And Joseph said unto them, the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. And Joseph said unto them, the third day, this do and live, for I fear God. If ye be true men, let one of your brothers be bound in the house of your prison. Go ye carry corn for the famine of your houses. All right, he giving them stuff, okay. But bring your younger brother unto me, so shall your word be verified, and ye shall not die. And they did so. And they said one to another, we are very guilty concerning our brother. Look at that. And they said one to another, we are very, verily guilty concerning our brother, in that we saw the anguish of his soul when we besought us, and we would not hear. Therefore is this distress come upon us. In other words, they are realizing what they done, reason why they're in the situation about what they did to Joseph. And Reuben answered them and said, spake unto them, unto you, saying, do not sin against the child. Ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood be required. All right. And they knew not that Joseph understood them, for he spoke unto them by an interpreter. And he turned himself about from them and wept, and returned then again and communed with them, and took from them Simon and bound him before their eyes. Oh, Joseph is weeping for the condition in which his brothers are in. He know they're scared and in trouble. All right. Then Joseph commanded to fill their sacks with corn, and to restore every man's money unto his sack, and to give them provision for the wage, and thus did he unto them. Look what he did. Look what he did. Put their money back in the sack. In other words, your money ain't no good here. It's because I love you. I do what I for you because I love you. Your money is not going to, is not what I need. I love you. I care for you. This is what he's doing to his brothers. All right. Reuben returned then, saying, I spoke not unto you, saying, do not sin against the child, and ye would not hear. Therefore, behold, also his blood is required. Genesis, that's the key verse, Genesis 42 and verse number 22. All right. That was the lesson print, Genesis 42, verses 6 through 25. We hope that you've been reading along in Genesis. All right. Now, this lesson aim, what is the aim of this lesson to all of you that are listening and watching? After participating in the lesson, each learner will be able to do these things. You should be able to do these things. Outline the events that occurred when Joseph's brothers went to Egypt to buy grain. Remember, it's starvation in the land. It's famine in the land. And it says outline the events that occurred when they went to Egypt to buy grain. We just told you about those events. What happened? All right. Outline the events that occurred when Joseph's brothers went to Egypt to buy grain. Explain the possible motivations behind Joseph's treatment of his brother. What was the motivation behind Joseph's treatment of his brother? Why did he do that? Because he knew what they had did to him. He knew that they were scared. And he knew he was doing some things to them to make them have a contrite heart. They wasn't going to tell him about what they did before now, but he did some things to him to make them, I believe, come to a contrite heart. And there was a really forgiving heart for what they had did to their brother. Their brother, the dreamer, who had the coat of many colors, which his father had made. Resolve and entanglement gracefully. In other words, he is squaring away a situation that occurred when they were young boys, all 12 of them together, with their father. And guess what? He is resolving that situation in a very good way. He's resolving that situation in a very good way by what he's doing. In other words, when they come to buy grain, they scared him at first, and then he made them do some things, and they did those things. And then he turned around, and after they had bought the grain, and he sacked it up and packed it all up and ready for them and gave them provision to go home. Usually when you go buy stuff from somebody, they don't give you no food for you to eat as you from what you bought, for you to keep you safe, feed you as you return from your journey from once you came to buy. So he put that money back in their bags with the grain. Now, they won't know that until they get home and open them bags up. What a blessing. All right. The lesson outline, surprise encounter. We just did that. Lesson contact, doubt. All right, brothers' arrival. That's Joseph accusation. Joseph accusing the brothers of being spies. Joseph requirement, what he asked of them. Brothers' remorse. See, he's at a contrite heart now. They're forgiving now. Joseph reaction. Joseph was crying for about what he was happening to his brothers. And there's a question about big boys don't cry, about men don't cry. Men cry. Believe you, I cry. I hope you as a man be in situations where you cry as well. All right, the conclusion, the importance of tears. The importance of tears, real tears, contrite from what has transpired in life, what you've done, and sin, and asking God for forgiveness. God knows the truth of that. All right? Prayer. Pray. By the way, thank you, Jesus, for this opportunity to speak on our Sunday school lesson for this day in regards to victorious love. Thank you, Jesus. Be with us and guide us. May the words reach somebody's heart and convince them to turn to Jesus. Amen. Thoughts to remember. All right. Surprise encounter. We know about the surprise encounter. When the Egyptians began to feel the effects of the pre-detected famine, see lesson two, they cried out to Pharaoh for relief. Pharaoh sent them to Joseph. Remember, God put Joseph over all Pharaoh had. Pharaoh put Joseph over in jail. Joseph was managing it. The famine, however, affected lands other than Egypt. Well, as a result, all countries came to Egypt to buy food. That's why his brothers are there buying food. Joseph's homeland was among those. Jacob urged his sons to travel to Egypt. Jacob, that's Joseph's father, who made that beautiful role for him. Food. Exactly how much of the seven-year famine had occurred before the brothers went to Egypt is not clear. Later, when Joseph revealed his identity, that's in lesson four now, he told them that only two of 7 years had passed. All right. For the first journey to Egypt, Jacob did not permit Benjamin, that's the youngest baby brother, you know, Joseph's other one now, one of two sons of Jacob's beloved with Rachel, and the other son being Joseph, that's who the overseer now of everything. Genesis 32:5-24, to go Jacob, had already lost his favorite son, Joseph, and he wasn't about to lose another one. Jacob did not want to risk losing his second favorite, Benjamin. Thus, 10 brothers are traveling to Egypt without him. 10, and Benjamin, the baby brother, and Joseph makes 12. Doubt, brothers arrive, and Joseph was the governor over the land, and it was that sold to all his people. All right, and Joseph's brothers came and bowed down themselves. Oh, look at that. And Joseph saw his brothers and knew them, but they didn't know him. All right, Joseph accused them. And Joseph remembered the dream which he dreamed of them. He accused them that they were spies. And he said to them, "You are spies." Look at that. All right, verse number 10. And they said, "No, we're not no spies at all. Go ahead. We are all one man's son." Oh, they telling the truth now about who they are. And said unto them, "Nay, but you see this, the nakedness of all you come to spy outside." He really scared them. And they said, this is repeating what we said before, but we just want you to get the point well. Trust and verify. Look at that. Trust and verify. Oh, isn't that powerful? Trust and verify. The Cold War was a worldwide concern in the 1980s. The importance of having a nuclear arms agreement could not be overstated. As U.S. President Reagan was preparing to meet with the USSR, Reagan and Russian loved proverbs, perhaps learning few, would help aid the negotiation. Trust and not verify. caught Reagan's fancy, expressed the intention of believing in good faith that Warren was told, while also doing the research of a statement to Reagan to express where the American attitude toward the Soviet assurance. America and Russia are still at it, isn't it? How about that? Before Joseph could trust his brothers, he needed to verify their character. All right, they had told him that first they had been lying about what they weren't telling the truth. Then he got to down to the nitty gritty. He wanted to find out who they really are. That's what people want to find out about you. That's what people want to know about me. The real nitty gritty. Who is Freddie Howard? They really want to find out. Who is Laverne Odom? Who they want to find out? Who is Dottie Starr? They want to find out who you are. What are you? They want to find out about you, Donnie Rambo. They want to find out who you are. What is it about you? All right. Are you really who you say you are? Folks want to know who you are. That's about your real character. That's why Martin Luther King judged them about not by the color of the skin, but by the character of their heart, their real heart. And God knows your real heart. God can give you a good real heart so that people will respect you and love you regardless. Even though that you may have that, but some people still won't like you. All right. Joseph alternative. Hereby you shall approve by the life of Pharaoh. You shall not go forth in. No, he told him they ain't going nowhere until you bring that young brother. Oh, look at that. Yeah, you ain't going nowhere for the life of Pharaoh. He look good. Perhaps the emphasis how serious he was, Joseph twice, by the life of Pharaoh. The ruse of pretending to be thoroughly Egyptian continued. And you know, Joseph had power over everything except for the kingship. You know, remember how the king told him, you got rule over everything except the kingship thing. I handle the king stuff, but you handle everything else. All right. And if Joseph inferred that he had that, he really scared his brothers. And he put them all together into a war, 3 days. He put them in a war for 3 days. I wonder what the definition of the 3 days. I think it may have something to do with God the Father, Jesus the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Also, with the reference of in the heart of the earth for 3 days, but it's a powerful thing that 3 days Jesus Christ was in the heart of the earth, and in 3 days he rose again. That's what my significance is. That's what I believe he was. Joseph requirement, he asked something of him. God asked something of you. God asked something of you. Do you know that? He asked something of us. Faith without work is dead. How can you build and you don't have, you're not going out there getting the hammer and the nails and the saw and going to work? Faith without, you're not going to build no house and you ain't going to do no work. All right. On the third day, apparently, after more thought, Joseph was ready to dictate a different set of conditions before revealing his new plan. However, Joseph gave the rationale for her decision, his fear of God. Whoa, look at that. God, Joseph feared God. He feared God. So he didn't want to do wrong about his brothers, even though his brothers were there. He was in a situation where he was rectifying a situation between the family, or this entanglement or the estrangement between the family. He was trying to square that up. So, but he had to fear God in doing it. How about you? Do you have to fear God in you? Do you fear God? For our viewpoint, Joseph could refer to his fear of God from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Genesis, the 32nd chapter, 9, and the 50 to 24th verse of Exodus 3 and 6. Such a statement might have tipped his brothers off that something was different about this Egyptian governor. These brothers are scared now. They're really not thinking about God and what they should be thinking about. If that should have tipped them off when he was talking about God and giving them hints about God. However, his brothers should be excused for not understanding what Joseph was asserting. For one thing, the name used to refer to God is a plural word that often refers to the true God over 1,000 times in the Old Testament, but can also be referred generically to supernatural beings who may be mistaken for gods. Example, Psalms 82:1. Psalms 82:1. Let's read that right quick. Psalms 82:1. Psalms 82:1. We're going to read that right quick. Psalms 82. As we find Psalms 82, here we go. Stay with us. We are just 33 minutes into the lesson. We'll be through soon. Psalm 82:1. We are turning to that. We, for a purpose, we want to know. Okay, here we go. 87, 81, 82. Psalms 82:1. Psalms 82:1. Here's what it said. God and the judges, a song. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. Boom! God, capital letter, G-O-D, the little gods. That's the stuff. I mean, God judges among all gods. We make things God. We make cars God. We make money God. We make our house God. We make our wife a God. We make our children God. None of that stuff, the things that we have, is any good. You need to make God, keep God in the place in which he should be. Oh, God standeth in the congregation of the mighty. He judges among the gods. God standeth in the congregation of the mighty, powerful men. Look at that. And he judges them all. How about that? God is the judge of all things. God knows the truth about whatever your situation. All right. Though God could be determinated from false gods, differentiated different from false gods. Now, false gods, you know exactly what a false god is. That's not the real God. He can't answer you. Can't give you nothing. And just remember when they was having a big thing about them gods, and he told them, put more water on the fire, and your God, maybe they sleep, call out to him. But our God that we serve is a living God, and he is present right now with you right now. He is a living God, God the living God. To fundamentally muddle the situation, Joseph looked Egyptian. Hey, he looked like an Egyptian. How about that? Had an Egyptian name, Zephaniah. Look at that name. Spell that name. Zaphanathpaanah. Woo. Zephaniah. Oh, Genesis 41:45. Was married to a daughter of priests. Oh, he married one of the pharaohs. Look at that. Joseph is in the house now. Joseph's brothers probably assumed Zephaniah worshiped, right, and other Egyptian gods. Oh, they thought Joseph worshiped them other gods. Joseph didn't. He might look like it, but he wasn't worshiping them Egyptian god. Joseph was still worshiping his God. God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit. That's the same thing with you. I don't care what situation you're in, how bad it is. Keep worshiping God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit. I don't care what's going on. Stay with God. He's got it. During this pandemic, COVID, you got COVID. I've been blessed not to have me, you know, my wife and my family members blessed not to have it. But there are other family members outside of our community house and in here that have it. And they have been dying. And we've been mourning for it. But God has blessed us not to. Be thankful. Keep holding on to God's hand. When the storm was coming and the trees were bobbing and weaving 2 or 3 days ago, was you holding on to God's hand? I sure hope that you were. I sure hope that you were praying. That's what, how you do. When times get bad, you still hold on. When times get good, you still hold on to God. If you be true men, let one of your brothers, that's where you ask your brothers to go back and get the baby brother. All right, but bring your younger brother unto me. Hey, boy, he asking himself, he really putting them in trouble. Because they know that when they go back, they're going to have time to convince their father to let that last boy go. Because they contrived and did some stuff to take the Joseph away from his dad, their daddy before. You know how brothers, that sibling rival, that's some deadly stuff. When you pray favoritism, it causes problems in your family. Remember that, parent. When you pray favoritism, remember that, grandmama and granddaddy. When you pray favoritism with them young'uns, guess what? It's going to create a problem. Love them all. Do all of them. Discipline them all. Love them the same way. Like God love all of us the same way. And they did so. So Joseph did not tell them when to come back, only that they must bring the younger brother with them. Judging from Joseph's word, the punishment for espionage was death. All right, and the brothers left. The following verse continues, as though this sentence never happened. This represents a significant jump in the narrative, Genesis 43, verses 1 through 16. Brothers' remorse. Some brothers are remorseful for what they did. And they said one to another, we are verily guilty concerning our brother. They know what they did to Joseph, in that we saw the anguish of his soul. In other words, they don't know that that their brother that they killed or put in there, they don't know where he is. They tell you the truth. They really don't know. They know that they put him in that well, and the Mennonites got him and sold him. And they sold him into where he is now, into Egypt. But they don't know that when he besought us and we were not here. All right, you remember when they were talking to him? You know, he was telling me, I imagine he was saying some things to him when they put him in that well. All right, but them brothers didn't hear it at the time. They're telling now. All right, the truth is coming all out now. Though the biblical account does not mention Joseph's anguish at the time, Genesis 37, verses 26 through 28. Genesis 37. Let's turn that real quick and look at the anguish. All right. Genesis, what did we say? I believe we said then Joseph anguish. Oh, whoa, we lost it. Just that quick. God forgive us. Thank you, Jesus. I believe Genesis 37, I believe. Oh, that's so good. Genesis 37. And Joseph brought in the land wherein his brothers was a sojourner in the land of Canaan. Joseph, the beloved of his father. All right. These are the generations, okay? Now Joseph was more than his children. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all of his children because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. Remember that. Joseph hated and rejected by his brothers. Joseph in the pit. All right. I'm quite sure that Joseph went through some things when they were doing that to Joseph. That's what that is saying about his anguish. His anguish, that means you're in pain, you're in trouble. Your brothers didn't hear him. That was Genesis 37 and 26 to 28. Thank you all. Stay with us. Genesis 37, 26 to 28. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 26 to 28. We about there. 26. Right. 26 to 28. Okay. And Judah said unto them, his brother, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? They were at the time. This is going on at the time. Hollering at Gloria. This is going on at the time that they contending by killing him and putting him in the well and selling him, getting rid of him. That's because they hate him. All right. And Joseph said unto his brother, what profit is it? This is to slay our brother and conceal his blood. No, slay the brother and hide the blood from where he is destroyed. Come, let us sell him to the Mennonites. Let us not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content. In other words, they made up a plan of how to cover it all up. Look at that. Brothers, huh? Brothers. Don't tell me brothers and sisters won't kill each other. They will do it. Somebody may say, oh, don't kill him. All right, how about that? That's the real life. That's real life today, 2020, September 2020, today. Today's date, Sunday school lesson, victorious love. Secrets will come to light. That especially hits me face to face. Secrets will come to light. All right. God willing, and that day come, I'll be able to stand. All right. What do you think? Without giving direct advice, how would you counsel someone who seems to be mentally enslaved by a guilty or a past misdeed? What would you tell them? Digging deeper. How would you counsel a difference between a believer and an unbeliever? Why? How would you counsel between a believer and unbeliever? They're different people, you know. We're hollering at Brother Corey, our musician. Good morning, Brother Corey. We're doing the Sunday school lesson. We hope you have a great day over at Mount Olive with Reverend Oliver. That's right. You'll be someplace else. But anyway, God willing, we'll see you next Sunday, Brother Corey. And we hope that the system is working. I got the call from Mayor about what you had found out about the speakers. But give me a call after I get through with Sunday school here about 9 o'clock if you have time, if you're not in service. But anyway, give me a call. I'm on the phone right now with broadcasting, so you give me a call later. Thank you. That's Brother Corey, our musician at Antioch Baptist Church, a good musician. All right, let's go to the 21st verse. Therefore, in this distress came upon us. The brothers believed that when they encounter the stress of trouble, it was a punishment for some previous wrongdoing. That thinking is reflected throughout the Bible. Example, Job 11, 13, and 8, John. We may still feel that our struggles are God's judgment on us for our past thing. But sometimes God do some stuff with you and you ain't did nothing. He just used that to test you. That's how he did Joe. But like the brothers, we only see part of each other's story and should be very wary of interpreting too confidently God's intention in any situation. You don't know what God's doing. Let me get that clear with you. You and I do not know what God is doing. That's how we get in trouble with our families, with folks around us. We assume we know what God is doing. We don't know what God's doing. It's just like a piece of fabric. You see the front of the beautiful shirt, but you don't know what's behind this fabric on the other side, the weave of the fabric. You don't know everything. Live your life like you don't know everything. Let God know some things. Some things you don't need to know. All right, let's go on. And Reuben answered and said, I spake unto sin, do not sin against the child. You will hear him from there, for behold, all this his blood is required. Reuben is Jacob's firstborn. Look at that. Genesis 49:3. But before he said it, Joseph knew nothing of what Reuben had said to his defense. Reuben's statement was Joseph's blood is required. Confirmed that he believed Joseph had died and that he considered all of his brothers present to be guilty of that death. Look at that. Look at that. Oh, revealing thing. And they knew not Joseph or understood them, for he spoke unto them as an interpreter. Because of Joseph's cunning use of the interpretation, the brothers have been speaking frankly before him without realizing he could understand their private conversation. Look at that. He got an interpreter, interpreter, understanding what they're saying. They have spoke different language, but guess what? Joseph is understanding. Joseph understands, even though they're speaking in a language that maybe they don't think Joseph here, but Joseph knows it. How about that? Because of Joseph's cunning use of the interpreter. All right, he used the interpreter to understand what they were saying. For long years, we must wonder whether they felt any guilt or remorse for their action against him. That's something to think about. All them years before they came down to Egypt, their father sent them down there to buy food. What did you think they were thinking about their brother? Did you think they ever thought about that they had got rid of him and put him in their well? Huh? When you do wrong to your brothers and sisters, do you think about it? Do you? That's real stuff. That's life. Real stuff. Ain't that right, Gloria? Real stuff. That's what makes people love you and care about you. Be real. What you do won't come to the light. I don't care what you do to your brothers and sisters. But what you do to them is coming to the light. It ain't going to stay here. God don't let nothing stay here. All right. Okay. Though he had clearly found great purpose in his Egyptian life, but part of Joseph wanted to know if his brothers had ever overcome their hatred for him. Have you overcome the hatred of your brother and your sister? And have you overcome the hatred of the white boy? Or the white girl? Or the white man? Or the black man? How about you? When they tried to get me out of the house as a little boy for running the postmaster off the road, they thought I ran off the road, but I didn't get out of the road. Have you think them folks that came here to get me that night, I forget, let them alone. God's going to take care of me. I ain't holding nothing against it. They made me who I am. They made me Freddie Howard who I am today because of what they tried to, how they tried to hang me, how they tried to lynch me. My mama didn't send me out. My mama Loretta, she didn't send me out. She told me to get out of her yard. Okay, that's just a little something about it. The stuff that's in your past, do you hold it? I don't hold it. I let it go. But I do thank them. I am thankful for what they did because it made Freddie Howard who is Freddie Howard. Freddie Howard ain't scared of no white man. Freddie Howard's not scared of no black man. I am afraid of God, but not as good as I should be afraid of God because I still do things that's wrong. I should fear God. That's what holds you, keep you from doing that. You remember when your mama tear your butt up and your dad would tear your butt up? That's what kept you from doing stuff because they tear it up. You were scared. You were fearful. That's how you do. That's how it is with God. You fear God, so you don't do wrong stuff because you know what he'll do to you. Wages of sin is death. It may not come right now, but God's going to get you. I don't care what you do. God is going to get you. All right. And he turned himself about from then and wept. In other words, Joseph will find out what's going on with his family and all this stuff. So Joseph is crying now. How about that? Do you weep over the situation that's going on in your family? Do you weep over it? You should. You should be remorseful. And returned to them and communed with them and took from them Simon and bound him before their eyes. After composing himself, Joseph probably voiced again the terms necessary for safe return to Egypt. Genesis 42:19-20. Joseph imprisoned Simon as a surety until that his brothers returned with the youngest one. He kept one of them so that they know where y'all go, but I'm keeping one of you all. I'm bound him. See, get it in front of the eye. Joseph probably had meant to detain the older son, Reuben, due to his status as firstborn son, but changed his mind after hearing Reuben confess Simon is the second oldest of Joseph's sons. Genesis 29:30. See, they telling the truth now. Yeah, God, that affected Joseph. Folks, when you're telling the truth and being honest around folks about what's taking place, that changes the situation. You ever go into a bank and you need money and blah, 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 and you get to doing things and you got the numbers and then you get to talking to the banker and blah, blah, blah. And then he finally see something different. He'll go ahead and allow you to have the funds for whatever reason. Your credit may not be good, but he is allow you to do that. That's good stuff going on there. Then Joseph planned to fill their sack with corn and store every man's money into his sack and give them provision on their way, for they did not come into. Oh, look at that. We're repeating some things two or three times, but we want to drive the point home what's taking place. The brothers came there, they didn't know Joseph was who they're going to be buying the food. They did all those things to him and buried him threw him in a well for hoping he'd die, and they finally come into realization. Before sending his brothers back to Canaan, Joseph took certain calculated steps. Because it was within his authority to set price for corn, Joseph decided to send the food back with his brothers at no charge. He got that power. Sometimes you're in a position to do things like that to help folk. Do it. Do it. Do it. But be refunded that money without telling them. That's the same thing we do at the guard. I'm bragging a little bit now, but I'm bragging in a good way that'll help. When me and my sisters and Mary and I be, and we be out there harvesting, doing stuff, some people, we ask them to give us $2 or $3. If they ain't got it, it's okay. It's okay. God going to still bless us for doing what we do. We going to give it to a minimum. We raise it. We harvest it. We ask folk to come help. They don't come and help. That's okay. We still going to raise it. We still going to harvest it. We still going to work out there in that garden. Because that's a good thing. Is that the school is on the school property. The Monroe County Board of Education gave the permission to do it. And we going to do it. Thank you. All right. There's a strange story of Joseph in the last 2 days. First, he blessed his brothers by not accepting their payment. Look at that. Just allowing their money to be used for other purposes as necessary. How about that? When somebody refunds and give you money back for things that you charge for and let you have it underway, that blesses you. You can use that money for something else. Second, by not telling them what he would do, Joseph actually made them fear God. Look at that. Remember what I told you, when he had told them all of that? They got scared. They got feared in. They brought all that truth back out. That's why when you get in trouble, you confess all the stuff you did wrong to somebody. You bring it all out. A lot of folks wait until they die, but don't wait until you die. You're about to die. Do it now, okay? Would the governor see them as thieves as well as spies? Was this finally God's plan to punish them for Joseph? How much worse would things get? Look at that. Oh, look at that. We have 52 minutes into the Sunday school lesson. We hope that you have been enjoying it. We are at the conclusion of it. And we hope that you'll be ready for next week's Sunday school lesson. The conclusion of this lesson. Joseph had settled into life in Egypt, secure in his powerful position. He had married and started a family. He had taken over the responsibility of providing grain for those who had traveled from near and far to Egypt because of the severe famine that had ravaged many countries. It was his business, as usual for Joseph, until he looked up and saw his 10 brothers, men dressed like they used to be when he lived in Canaan. Oh, what a reminder. And then he realized these were his brothers. They also too had come to Egypt to buy grain. Then Joseph's motives for acting as he did toward his brothers were not rooted in selfishness or vindictiveness. Now, look at that now. It's all the time we do stuff for selfishness and being vindictive. You know it. It seems almost all of these in his tears. He could not control his emotion when he learned that Reuben had actually intended to spare his life. He did not know and didn't realize and focus it really came back to him that one of Reuben, the oldest one, said, the one told him, oh, don't kill him. Don't do that. Put him in the well. Then, you know, don't put our hand on him, okay? And Reuben did that. Reuben had actually intended to spare his life, though his brothers did not know it. The governor of Egypt was already planning how to use his father again and keep his whole family safe. Look at that. While Joseph was hiding his true identity from his brothers, his declaration that I fear God was the truth. The brothers did not realize what a comfort that declaration should have been to them. They petrified and scared and not paying attention. A lot of times you be going through a situation, you forget God got his hands on you. God got his shelter. God protecting you. Yeah, yeah. Should have been there. Joseph's tears revealed his heart all time. Prayer. Let us go through the prayer. Our Father, thank you that you are using even our most desperate and circumstances to serve your loving purposes. Let our fear of you guide us as Joseph fear guided him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We hope that you will let your fear of God guide you. Fear of God must guide our decision. Whenever you decide to do something in the church, in the home, in the family, wherever the situation is, put God first. As the saying goes, what would God do? What Jesus do? You be mindful of that and let that guide you. All right. Now, next week's lesson, we're long, almost a whole hour into the lesson. We're 54 minutes. But next week's lesson, Sunday, September 27, be lesson number 4, Reveal Love. Devotional reading going to come from John, the 14th chapter, verses 1 through 4. The background scripture will come from Genesis 45, verse 1 through 15. On behalf of all of us here at Antioch Baptist Church, we thank you all for listening to the video this morning. We are going to upload it for others to listen to it worldwide. And we thank you all for listening. All of you all that tune in. We will see y'all next Sunday, God willing. Maybe not on this, on the live show, but on the recorded version for the radio station. This is your host, Freddie Howard, the Sunday school teacher at Antioch Baptist Church down in Turner Spring, where Reverend Olive is our pastor. And Sister Joyce Olive, our first lady, and Lisa Starff is the clerk. On behalf of all of us, good morning. Have a good Sunday. It's the third Sunday. You can go someplace to worship. I just worship right there with you. Get on your knees. Get your Bible. Stay in church. Get ready to vote. Be prepared. Don't worry about Donald Trump and what's going on. God's got everything. Remember, you don't need to know everything, but you do know this. God is in control. God controls today and tomorrow. Until next time, we thank you and see you next Sunday, God willing, on House of Russian Gospel, Block Talk Radio, Sunday School Lesson. Thank you. God bless. Take care now.